إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we're talking about تعلق مع الله. So what is تعلق مع الله? تعلق مع الله is not something that is restricted to or that is translated as knowing about Allah. تعلق مع الله is to know Allah. There is a difference between knowing about and knowing. I can know about the boss here, Sayyid Bhai. I can know all about him. I can know when he was born. I can know who is his father, his mother, what family, and so on and so forth. But do I know him? So if somebody says, do you know him? I can say, well, I know all about him, but I don't know him. What is the sign that you know somebody? The sign that you know somebody is that that person responds to your call. That is the sign. If I know Sayyid Bhai, then I know if I phone him, he will answer my call. If I speak to him, he will speak to me. If I invite him, he will come. That is a sign that I know the person. I can know about somebody, but until I know them, I cannot say that I have a ta'alluq with them. So ta'alluq ma Sayyid means that he must respond to me. So what is ta'alluq ma Allah then? That is the key issue. The key issue and the tool that we need to give ourselves and to our families and our children. We are talking about the whole subject of families and the tools that we need to survive in this world and good for the next world, is to create and give this tool of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I say all the time, you can't give what you don't have. You cannot give what you don't have. You can go to a king, you can go to a billionaire and say, I have a headache. Give me medicine for this headache. What must I take? The man can tell you, I will send you to Mayo Clinic in America. If it costs $1 million, I will pay the bill for you. So what do you say to him? You say, no, I'm not asking you to pay the bill for my... I want you to prescribe the medicine for this migraine of mine. What's he going to tell you? He will say, you have to go to a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm a businessman. I may have $1 billion. My net worth might be 50 billion, but I am not a doctor. I do not know what medicine to prescribe for you. And the doctor may be somebody who is literally eking out a living from morning till night. He might be struggling to make ends meet. But he has the knowledge that you need. You can only give what you have. You cannot connect your family and your children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are not connected yourself. You can talk till the cows come home. That's not going to help anybody. You have to be connected. If you want to connect, you need to be connected. Otherwise, you become like the flintstone. Beware of becoming a flintstone. You know what a flintstone is? A flintstone is what you strike to light a fire. And the tragedy of being a flintstone with regard to Islam is that you will light 1,000 fires, but you are still a stone. You are still cold. And that's very tragic. That is very, very tragic, because thanks to your talking or whatnot, other people may be going to places where they should be going to, connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, earning Jannah, doing Ibadah and so on. But since your talk does not go below your throat, it doesn't help you. It's like a flintstone, striking matches. And that's the greatest danger with regard to, especially with regard to Islam. And that's why I keep saying, never take money for this deen. Because if you take money for this deen, you will become a flintstone. People will come to listen to your lectures, they will go away ignited, but you remain a stone because you are looking at the money, you are not looking at the rida of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi, he said He said, the greatest honor for you is that you are a worshipper of Allah. The greatest honor for you is that you are a worshipper of Allah. And the greatest glory for you is that Allah is your Rabb. See the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bless Imam Ibn al-Qayyim and fill his qabr with nur. He said, the greatest honor for you is that you are a worshipper of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu permitted you to make sajda before him. This is an honor. See, this is the problem. We consider salah to be a burden because we don't understand what it is. We think it's a musibah. Somehow go and dump it and go. Kaam to ho gaya, namaz khatam ho gayi. The salaf used to wait for the next salah, from one salah to the other salah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, somebody asked his servant, they said, tell us about the life of your master. The servant said, he waits from one salah for the next salah, and in between he recites Quran. Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was also a businessman. He used to do business and so on. And so he did not say, he does not do all that. He sits in the masjid or some cloister. No. During his regular life, what he was leading, in his business, in his work, all that was going on, but his occupation, personal focus and attention was what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He waits from one salah for the next salah. Waits for it, meaning what? When will it come? When will it come? When will it come? When can I go back into the darbar of Allah Jalla Jalalu? Anticipation. And in between, in this time, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said he used to recite Quran. That was his life. Some total of life of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in that one line. Waits from one salat for the next salah and in between recites Quran. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, rahmatullahi alayh, the greatest honor for you is that Allah subhanahu, that you are a worshipper of Allah. That Allah permitted you to do this. And he said the greatest glory for you is that Allah is your Rabb. Now think about this. There is a person who works for Maruti. And there is a person who works for Toyota. Who takes more pride in his employment? There's a person who works for local government, Panchayat Raj. There's a perfect person who works for the Prime Minister's office. Salary is the same. Assume that the salary is the same. Assume that the person, for example, if the Prime Minister of India offers you a job and says, I am offering you a job to be personal assistant to the PM. Personal assistant to the Prime Minister. In the PMO, in the PM's office. For a period of 5 years. No salary. The government will give you accommodation and so on, but zero salary. Will you take the job or no? You will not take the job. Then you are a fool. Then you are the biggest crazy madman that I have ever seen in my life. Seriously, you are completely insane. Why would you not want to be personal assistant to the Prime Minister of a country which has a GDP of $2 trillion? Imagine what you can learn as the personal secretary and assistant to the Prime Minister of this country. That is worth gold. That is worth gold. If I was offered that job, I would not only take the job, I would pay to take the job. I would say, I will give you a salary. Seriously, because at the end of 5 years, my value is in billions. I can then become a consultant and I can charge $1,000 per minute of my speaking. Because I was the Prime Minister's secretary. You have no clue. I mean, if you say no, that means you really don't understand either politics or business. Seriously. But why is the value of that job more than the job of the in a Panchayat Raj? Because of who you are connected with. What is the power of the person that you are connected with? Now, what is the power of the person who is connected to the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything else in between? But he doesn't understand. He's like a mouse running around in the masjid. What does the mouse know about the masjid? He's running around in the masjid. To be conscious of this, who am I connected with? Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted us to worship him. I was in Jamaat once in Baltimore. We went to Istima. So 3 days. And a lot of details about that I'll tell you inshallah when we are here for Itikaf. But just the bottom line, there were 3,000 of us. Now in Tabligh, after Fajr we have the Bayan. This is not a Fajr reminder like 10-15 minutes. The Bayan is a proper Bayan of easy 1 hour. So imagine after praying Salatul Fajr, you wake up for Tahajjud, you pray Fajr and you have to sit in the Bayan for 1 hour. That's like a punishment almost. And after the Bayan, then there is breakfast, so there's about maybe half an hour between that. So from the masjid, where do you head? Straight for the toilets, because by the time the pressure is built up. Now this was a istema, so there were a lot of these temporary, you know, the fiberglass toilets. There's a whole long line of toilets. So all of us were standing there, long line of people waiting for these toilets, and obviously toilets are occupied and you want people to get out fast and so on, so waiting there. And suddenly, what the Americans call euphemistically a honey wagon drove up. You know what a honey wagon is? A honey wagon is the tanker truck that pumps out your deposits from the toilet and takes it away because it's got to go somewhere. And who was in the honey wagon? An American white man and an American white woman. And I'm saying this not for any racial reason, just to explain. So we had this whole bunch of 3,000 mostly Asians and Africans and African Americans. I think there may be one or two white people in that, there's nobody else. And you got this truck with these two guys in that truck. So I said to one of the brothers who was with me, he's from Pakistan. So I told him, what will you give to get an American passport? If I could give you an American passport now, what would you give to get an American passport? So immediately his eyes went up and, you know, he sort of, this is the vision of Jannah, you know, American passport. I mean, what is an American passport? So I told him, you'll get the American passport on one condition. He said, what? I said, you take the place of that man. I said, there is a man. Born American, American passport, is not an Asian guy like you who is willing to sell his soul for the passport. He was born with the passport in his hand. He is doing a job which is halal. Please understand this. Absolutely 100% halal. To clean somebody's toilet is 100% halal. Do you want that job? Do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you halal income that you become a toilet cleaner for the rest of your life? 100% halal income, you will go to Jannah, guarantee. Now imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for. He did not create you to become garbage collectors of the world. He created you to be His worshippers. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Except My worship, nothing. Do we understand the izzah of that? This one thing is enough. Just sit and reflect on this. Try to get this inside your heart. This is the izzah of this. Allah created me to worship Him. Why? سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Whatever is there in the heavens and the earth already worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah does not need you and me. This is an izzah. This is honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what gets us connected to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is the issue. Do you know about Allah or do you know Allah? And the job is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And the sign of knowing is that if I call, He will respond. And he promised this, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ You call, I will respond. Ud'uni, astajib lakum. Ask me, I will give you.
وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. His wa'ada, his promise. But provided we call, provided we ask. You can't expect response. Response means that you have called. There can't be a response without calling. And that is the tool of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tomorrow we'll talk about how to get that in a couple of other ways. But anyway, inshallah, for today this is enough. Building ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the most powerful, the most valuable tool that you can get for yourself and I can get for myself, and that we can teach each other and our families. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to Him and to connect us with Him, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can connect us with Him. Allah told us how to connect. First, jud. Allah said, make sajda. Waqtarib. And come close. Make sujood and come close. We'll talk about how that happens tomorrow, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika wa rahmatullah.